We are continuing our series on getting rid of the toxic sin of racial hatred, getting rid of it. We're talking about evolution. And last time, I think we ended up, which was, I think, a couple of Wednesdays ago, we talked about the goal of evolution. Remember we talked about that? We kind of review there and then come again. Mr. Arnett is looking like
him. Oh,
right, right. So we did talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to start there and then move forward. Just kind of... I'm going to kind of add a statement too. One preacher put it best. Evolution is the product of the developing philosophy of atheistic humanism. That's a loaded statement. Evolution is a product of the developing philosophy of atheistic humanism. Man is God, God is not God. A developing philosophy. Remember, when your whole thrust of living, in other words, your thinking, your philosophies, your theories, your whole core of all your thinking and being and doing is does not include the God of the Bible in a sense, then that is atheistic humanism. God, man is God. And so when you do not include the God of the Bible in anything that you're thinking, then that is your developing philosophy of atheistic humanism. Evolution is a product of that. Evolution is a product of that. It's not about, developing some sort of science for science sake. It's about removing God from my thinking so that I can do what I want to do. So I thought that was it's a loaded statement, but it's just a fancy way of saying what we've been talking about, to kill the God of the Bible, to un-God God. Then we said from last week or 2 weeks ago, evolution was invented to kill the God of the Bible. Not because evolutionists didn't like God as creator, but because they didn't want God as what?
Lord, judge.
Judge. I don't want you to judge me. Isn't that the big thing now? Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Don't not just. It's thick. And it just... I hate that phrasing, especially when Christians use it, or when Christians bow down to it from someone else. Well, we know that last time, what it means about judge. God is judge. God has called these sins a sin. And when we repeat what the judge is already saying, we're not judging them. God has done that. We're not saying for the first time, what you're doing is a sin. Homosexuality, lesbianism, abortion, same-sex marriage, fornication, adultery. We're not renaming adultery as extramarital affairs, thank you. Or fornication as premarital sex. The murder of children as abortion. Or sexual child abuse as transgenerational intimacy. My Lord and my God. Yeah. We're not from the secular humanists who want to rename these sins as something softer. Remember we talked about taking the word poison off the bottle and putting something else on it. That's what these are. Oh, it's not so bad. If you're 50 years old and you like a 12-year-old, really? We don't want God as judge. Evolution was invented to un-God God, to eliminate him as the law giver. thou shalt not. Don't tell me what to do. What has abortion been renamed as? The woman's right to do what she wants with her body. It's no longer called abortion. We call it pro-choice, pro-life. Pro-choice, pro-life. Not pro-choice, pro-death, but pro-life, pro-choice. Not pro-life, rather pro-death, but pro-life, pro-choice. Abortion has been renamed so that it is a choice. A woman's right to do what she wants with her body. We taught on abortion a few years ago, very graphically, for certain folk left out the sanctuary because on purpose we talked about some of the graphicity of the methods of abortion on purpose. Because I think as Christians, we've gotten so soft on abortion that we don't really realize it is the torture of a human being in the womb of the mother, which is supposed to be the safest, which used to be the safest place in the entire universe. No one went in there to eliminate the lawgiver. Thou shalt not. Also, evolution was invented to eliminate the holiness of the law of God, the purity of the law of God. And for many, many years, even in America, the law of God was the binding standard for human thought and conduct. It really was. For many, many years. Not anymore. I think we're asleep, Christians are. We're not astute enough to see what's happening. We're going for the smoke screen, not understanding what's really happening behind that smoke screen. I think there are a lot of us that are just dumb, ignorant, slow, just strong words, but mouths are not sugarcoated. We're not astute. We don't study. We're not discerning. We lack knowledge. And all of the root of all that is because we lack knowledge. We think it's something we do on a Sunday in the midweek and we're done. It doesn't really apply to the rest of the hours of every single day, all the time. And we're just in a malaise. It's like a hammock on a lace, just kind of rocking back and forth while the world around you is absolutely crumbling. There is vicious battles in the spirit realm going on, and we're just sitting around on a hammock while bombs are bursting in midair. And all of that comes from the Lord moving on me to listen to Al Mohler, who is, I believe, he is a powerful Reformed theologian. Powerful Reformed theologian. Who has a program called the Daily Briefing. And what that program is specific news headlines that are seen through a biblical worldview. My Lord and my God. You're talking about pulling the wool. I'm driving to work. Listen to this. Every day, I just started like last Thursday. Every day I drive to work, listen to that. And when I get to work, I am just in a daze because of, wow, I didn't realize that's what's really going on. Like today he talked about, you know, not the story itself, but why that's a story. Why this story is a story. That's seen behind the smoke screen. And I realized, I said, Lord, we're just chilling. We just don't realize the severity of what's going on. And I'm not saying you go out and start protesting all that. I'm just saying within yourself, you, I, us, as individual Christians, full of the Holy Spirit, led, influenced, dominated, and controlled by Holy Spirit, we need to be more aware of what's going on. So that when you are approached as an individual, and I'm talking about going out and starting marches, I'm talking about when somebody comes and talks to you personally, you need to have proper information as a Christian. proper information. And that comes from hearing and being taught the word of God and then doing your due diligence as a Berean-esque saint and studying the word of God. And what he's teaching me by listening to Al Mohler is when you listen to the regular news that is secular humanistic based, you are hearing exactly what Satan wants you to hear. And you don't look behind the scenes. It's almost useless to listen to the news. In a sense. Smokescreen. And you can look at when the smoke clears, what you're going to see, it's not about politics. For the first time in my life, I realized it's not about politics. It's not about all of the political wrangling. It's about all that is a means to an end. That is to unguard God so I can do what I want to do.
Thank you.
That's really the bottom line.
Thank you.
I do not want God around here. I want to be able to have sex with a man if I'm a male. I want to have sex with a woman I want to. If I want to have sex with a kid when I want to. I want to be able to do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it. And we're going to make laws that will allow us to do this. That's what's going on. He said all this, all of the newscasts and the headlines and the papers, all that is just a smokescreen. In fact, we're going to make this a story so we can start really some other things. That's why this is a story. The most subtle beast.
Yes.
Saw it like never before today. This is a story because once this story hits, we've chosen this one because this one is going to be an example for some other stories. It's going to start some legislation that's going to clear us to be able to do what we want to do even more. I'm not telling you to go out and start nothing. Just between you and God. I'm just saying when that individual comes, that co-worker comes to you, that's what I'm preparing you for.
Amen. Thank you.
And everyone in here pretty much has been approached by a co-worker, friend, family, enemy, whatever. Mm-hmm. In-laws, outlaws. Somebody has talked to you and you had to tell them what's going on. Like I know my wife, I know I don't remember specific examples with audio, but I know you have in some way, shape, or form. But my wife was a crystal clear example of the slavery situation, where here was another black man just kind of spouting things in anger and not really having knowledge, but she had the knowledge. That's what I'm talking about. When it happens. You and I, we must be prepared to give an answer. It's still part of being an apologetic, right? To give a defense. No, sir, no, ma'am. That's not really what that's about. What that's about is this. And I said, wow. Lord, at the root of all this stuff is immorality. That's what it is. It's all so I can just do what I want to do. Really? He's talking about the Pyeongchang, whatever, Olympics over in South Korea. He said, you know, there's a political wrangling that they're winning over there. And I'm like, what is he talking about? And then he goes to break it down, you know, Kim Jong-un, whatever the dude's name is, the crazy dick murderous dictator. His sister appears up here and that. All that was propaganda. And I'm realizing, too, just how dumb at times the American media is by just swallowing up her appearance there. Someone who is a representative of one of the murderous regimes in the history of all dictators. Evolution is universally accepted, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, but 99.9% of the universities in Europe and 99% of the universities here in America. The ungodding of God. What are the two, Lord? Scientists and evolutionary biologists, maybe? I think those are two groups. So it's like overwhelming over 90% of both of those groups scientists and evolutionary biologists are atheists. Over 90% in those two fields are atheists. I love the phrasing, to un-God God. We don't want him. That's why so much fervor comes at you when you speak and say, that is wrong, ma'am. You're taking in who were talking about the two men taking in two boys? Two homosexuals being allowed to adopt two boys, 11 and 12. That is very disturbing. That is so disturbing on so many levels. How long would it be? I mean, you are already attracted to males, so now you're attracted to these boys too. I'm pretty sure you are. You probably chose them. But it's they're congratulating them on her job. Lord have mercy. And you have the church who does not want to offend, who rather agree with this and say it's all right. As if God has changed his mind in his word and said, homosexuality, lesbianism is no longer a sin. That's not even close. The word of God that we read is saying in Psalm 119 and 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. I am the Lord, I change not. It's impossible for me to lie. Put all those verses together. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Put all of that together. His word has not changed. What is a sin, what was a sin then, is still a sin today. God has not softened his stand on homosexuality, lesbianism, same-sex marriage, child pedophilia, pornography of any form, bestiality, Lord have mercy, premarital sex, fornication, adultery, and the killing, the mass murder, the Holocaust. That's what it is against infants in the womb. It is a Holocaust like never before. And I tell you, and abortionists and women libbers and women's movements will crucify you to shreds for saying that it is a Holocaust. How dare you? Because they're going to cover that in the name of choice. Wow, really, your choice? Have you ever thought about abortion all the way through? That if God chooses to give life to that person, that the choice has been made, how can you choose over what God is doing? Amen. That's the ungodding of God. That's atheistic, humanistic atheism. That's what that is. You are God. And that's what the world wants. That's what humanism wants. They want us to be God. We choose what's moral and we choose what's immoral. He's the most subtle beast of the field. He's using media, using politicians, he's using economics, he's using the educational system, all of this to set up their immorality. That's what the God of this world is doing. 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's the God of this world. Remember in the Greek world, what? System. So he has the political system, the educational system, the broadcasting system, the medical system, the economic system. All for his end, his means, to un-God God. He's still trying to be like the Most High. Remember when he spoke about it in Ezekiel 1 of them? I will be like the Most High. Exactly what he's doing. To un-God God. To eliminate the holiness and purity of his law, which was the binding standard for human thought and conduct. Evolution was invented to do away with universal morality. Isn't that just what we're talking about? And universal guilt and universal accountability. Guilt, get rid of it. It's a useless feeling. It's weak. It's a sign of weakness. That's what our children are being taught. Get rid of guilt. Don't you dare feel guilty about your wrongdoing. It's not really wrong. Now we go back to truth being objective versus being subjective. Objective mean what is true back then is true, will always be true. And what is true for that person is true for all, regardless of race, color, creed, red, brown, yellow, black, or white. It's true for all ethnicities. You follow it? That's objective truth. That's the word of God. Subjective means Miss Darlene got a truth. Miss April got a truth. They're the same family, but their truth is different. Your truth different from my truth. We all got a truth. And that's been going on for millennia. Because what question did Pilate ask Jesus? Everybody remember? Say it again, Mama. What is truth? It's been going on. That's what they're asking now. He asked that. Over 2,000 years ago. What is truth? Veritas in the Greek. We know the answer. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. We know what's true. We're not confused. Unfortunately, what Christians are doing is throwing the truth of God's word down in favor of these lies being taken as truth of secular humanists. Pastors, teaching pastors, quote unquote, mega churches, changing their stand on these crucial issues because they are scared of losing the congregation. I mean,
the Lord is just telling all the business to the pastor Al Mohler. These churches, you know, the big Southern Baptist Convention and the other, I don't know, whatever the little spinoff group that came from them, wrangling in the back room, trying to figure out how to redo their bylaws and policy so that they don't lose membership, losing money. So let me craft this so I can see how I can keep the people, not just tell the truth, whoever leave. It's like, I stand maybe a little bit too strong on homosexuals. Now, let me just maybe better lighten it up a little bit and just, because we're losing too many people. And it's sad that even the so-called church of the Lord Jesus Christ, so-called, is all about money. Really? Wow, even here? Wow, how disappointing is that? Wow. I mean, you'd rather compromise the word of God? You'd rather compromise the glory of God, which is the end of all things, is the glory of God. Yeah. For my own sake, I'm doing this. And I will not share my glory with another. He's very selfish with his glory, and he got every right to be. And by the way, who what other glory is as great as his? Nobody, nothing. Even for your glory. Certainly not for mine. Thank God that he couldn't swear by no greater. He sweared by himself. We would say, so help me God. He said, so help me me. Because there is no greater. It asked me for his own sake. Because any other sake then is a lower sake. His name's sake. His glory. We got folks, so-called Christians, throwing it down for the sake of money, for the sake of acceptance, for the sake of remaining, having to remain a main player, a major player in maintaining political clout. There are groups, so-called Christians, who are fashioning and forming and changing and so forth their doctrine and beliefs so as to not lose the political influence. You know, the glory of God ain't nowhere in there. It's a wonder he just don't come down and... We ought to be on our knees thanking him for mercy every single day. We ought to be on our knees. When I tell... You know, the Lord is taking our time this evolution. You know why? Because I want you to understand it's not a light thing. It wasn't light. When it was formed, it unleashed ugliness
racial hatred and bigotry. To look at people as being subhuman. A rat is a pig. It's a dog. It's a boy. Same thing. That unnerved you, and it should have. Because as every Christian, it should unnerve you if you never heard that before. Like, what? You mean a pig is the same as a human? A dog? Yes, it's a boy. If I can say things like, oh, I'm not going to preach to them. They below me. I'm not even going to preach to them. You're supposed to be a Christian with the truth of God's word. You're there in Australia to evangelize the Aborigines. And you say, I'm not going to them because they can't be saved. That's amazing that you are God. Remember the so-called Christians playing God too. You just know they can't be saved. You don't know that. So you're going to tell me that the Bible is a lie? Well, what do you mean? Well, he said in Revelation, from every tongue, tribe, people, and nation, it's going to be in heaven. That means there's going to be folks who know Aborigine that you think can't be saved. It's going to be in heaven. The very Bible that you won't preach to them tells you that. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you were Christless, would you want somebody to preach Christ to you? God is telling them. Well, but that's different. No, it's not different. But you think that if you've been taught that. That's why you can cram a whole bunch of black folks into the bowels of a ship and letting feces, urine, and vomit roll all over them for months while you get them here to make money from them, knowing you ain't gonna pay them nothing or treat them nice. That's how you do that. I mean, the Egyptians, black folks, they chose to enslave the Jews. Not only white enslaving black, but these black folks who've been blessed by God, very bright, chose to enslave Jews because they were fearful that they were multiplying. My daughter said, you know, we're teaching on racial, forgot whatever the conference was, whatever the... She did a talk to the students at her school. And, you know, race, you know, she said, fear, you know, caused them to do that, you know. And I, because I'm learning to see things from different viewpoints. Amen. Just don't look at what everybody's looking at. And as Christians, that's what we ought to do.
Amen.
So I kind of raised my hand while we was having dinner at Verlanda's birthday celebration. Meekly, I said, well, you know, it's not fear. Wasn't the cause of it. I said, why did they manifest their fear or react to their fear by enslaving them? Why didn't they become friends with them and say, you know what? Let's work this thing out and we'll put you on staff with us and kind of be, why do you choose that I can subjugate and dominate this group? I said, Brooke, there was a mindset that was already there for that to be the solution.
Amen.
You're comfortable with that. That's what evolution did here. Then I was just seeing all those remnants of sin. But back then, evolution wasn't known. But there's still the same mindset. We're better than you, so we're going to choose to handle our fear by dominating you, subjugating you to harsh labor for 400 years. That's why in Nazi Germany, they were taught that Jews were vermin. Did you know that? They were taught they were a virus, vermin. Not even human. Not even less than human, subhuman. They removed human at all from it because it was easier to eliminate them if you didn't think of them not even as human. They were viewed as vermin. Some poisonous virus bacteria. That's all. And one of those Holocaust survivors said, if they could view us with any sort of pity, I'd rather for them that they hated us. But they were so indifferent, they were able just to kill us without any feeling at all. There was no feeling. They're like robots. Well trained. It was genius in a very diabolical way to train them that way so that you're robotic. You have no feeling at all. They were like Lent. What do you do in Lent?
Take it off, discard. Don't think twice about that. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. Nothing just burn and burn and burn, and the ash just falling like snow for just hours and hours, days and days, and months on months. Do you think Adolf Hitler was an atheist? Absolutely. There's so much stuff I didn't give you. I mean, you read his quotes. They were evolutionary indeed. It was the root of his philosophy. So much so that he said, we got to figure out what to do about the Jewish problem. Problem. You're a problem. Not human. You're a problem. Come from evolution. It was invented to do away with universal morality. Yeah, if you get do away with God, then you're like, what we're doing is not wrong. We're going to kill 6 million of them, and 1.5 are children. That's a lot of children. Think of 1.5 million children. That's a lot of children. Just think in your mind. That's a sea of children. If you look at an aerial view of just the March on Washington, it was like 250,000 people there. That's 250,000. That's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Supposedly the Million Man March wasn't quite Million Man. I don't know. But they were somewhere like more than that. That's a lot. We just think they're all children. 1.5. Take the little shoes, because it took all the dresses off and all of that. That's just a sad thing that you have, that you can have the mentality to do that without even thinking. Robotic. Doing away with universal morality, universal guilt, universal accountability. That's classic in the slaveholders. It's classic in Nazi Germany. It's classic in Rwanda. Classic over in Argentina. Classic over in all in Eastern Europe, Serbia, so the Serbs and all of those cleansings over there. Classic in Korea right now. No guilt, no accountability, no morality. It was invented to eliminate the judge and leave people free to do whatever they want without guilt, without consequences. It was invented to strip scripture of its veracity. What is that? Truth. It was invented to strip the scriptures of its truth. This ain't true. This is the new truth, not this. It's a truth, that's your truth, but it's not mine. You see, you want to strip it. Mm-hmm. Rather than this being universal truth, which it is, and it doesn't un-God God. You can't un-God God, you can't strip it of his truth. But in the minds of billions, that's what's exactly happening. It's not about science. Here we go with the smoke screen. It's not about science. Are you kidding me? Darwin couldn't care if you could prove it or not. They don't care. I mean, they're going to fight it and all that. Bottom line is, those guys, if you look at their sexual lives, they were extremely dark and perverted. Once I finally get through this, we'll end evolution with talking about Charles Darwin himself. And these are things you probably have never heard of in your life. About Charles Darwin. I know I have never heard, and I understand why now, because he's so revered. You would never come with this kind of information. This dude was psychotic, a sadist, and he was crazy. And I will read some of his own words about himself. Evolution wants to destroy the dignity of man as created in the image of God. Yeah, but that fits. We read about the white preacher who said,
I were to take this black man as my brother, then I'd have to do the same for the baboon, the ape. Why? If I take you as my brother, black man, I take the baboon too. Because y'all the same. That's an evolutionary thought. That's what he's thinking. That's why he's thinking that way. And he's supposed to be a Christian. Well, time has ended, and we did not go any further. But that's okay. We did go further according Amen. To his will. Because we need to hear this. And we need to be passionate. There's a war for the word of God right now. I'm telling my student, the young lady I talked to, still talking to her on lunches. Yeah. Telling her, I said, the word of God is being stripped, young lady. I said, Mr. Harris is becoming a minority. I said, we are going to suffer persecution around this corner. It's around the corner coming to America. She never heard of any of this. She said, wow, that's not fair. She's mad. Why did they do that? I told her about them sending home the fourth grader because the fourth grader had Jesus on their shirt. Sent her home, changed her shirt. But if you wear rappers and if you wore Kiss with the tongue out or Tupac or Biggie or Big Sean, somebody with terrible language, you can wear them all day long. Ain't nobody saying nothing to you. Oh, nice shirt. You come with Jesus and put it out. I said, young lady, you ever heard of Xmas? She said, yeah, what? I said, yeah, X, because we're unknown. We don't want Jesus. We X'd him out. That's why it's called Xmas. And now that's even gone. Now just happy holidays. There's no Jesus. I told her this morning, I said, you know, convincing to the briefing, I said, you know, in Korea, it is a capital offense to carry the New Testament. They find you, they jail you, they kill you. Period. Hands down. No questions asked. You carry the New Testament, it's a capital offense. Like murder is a capital offense here. Carrying the New Testament right now in Korea is a capital offense. See, lady, we're under attack. So we're soft here in America. I said, but over in the Middle East, they're crucifying Christians. They're crucifying them. I told her of the father that killed his 5-year-old son for not denouncing Jesus. Shot him twice in the stomach and killed his son. And he would not denounce. Please don't kill me, the 5-year-old said. But I will not denounce Jesus. Pop, pop. She was just absolutely, she walked out in the daze, stunned. See, if God has really called you, he's really raised you from the dead. And I'm talking about spiritually speaking, you're a true Christian. You hear that and won't fall away because no one can snatch that. So that harsh talking will not snatch it from his hand. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Once saved, always saved. No one will snatch you from the hand of God, not even you. No man, Jesus said, can snatch you from his hand. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, these are, as your word said in 1 Timothy 3, these are perilous, dangerous times. Difficult to deal with, hard to bear in the Greek. Dangerous, perilous, difficult times. But Father, we will not shrink from the challenge, the task at hand. For we were born for such a time as this. We're alive now, born now, because this is your timing for us to be here. So there's no need of us. Well, I wish I was born 30 years ago when it was a little nicer. Or 100 years ago when it was a lot nicer. Yeah, you might have been backed up 150 years ago and be somewhere down in the south somewhere. So just be careful. And just say, Lord, thank you for me to live as Christ.
Amen.
Meaning to live as Christ, meaning to do the will of God, to bring you glory through the name of Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Yeah, we understand that to die is gain. I understand it probably a little too much, and most of us here because we've been hearing it a lot. We're going to be up out of here. I don't hear no more about no 4-year-old girl and 5-year-old boys and drive-bys and shootings and rapes, and I'm trying to hear all that, Father. But you're saying, well, if I want you to hear it, you're going to hear it. And not only will you hear it, you're going to then listen for instructions what you to do about it. Because yes. I might tell you to go right over to that family house and start praying for the whole household. Yes. Yes. You listen to me, son, daughter. Listen to me, saith the Lord. Listen to me and not the world. I'm your shepherd. I'm your provider. I'm your guide. So listen to me, saith the Lord, and I'll show you what I want you to do. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.